praise him today. Woo! Lord, we praise you in the house today. I want to hear everybody say this. Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Jesus Christ is Lord of all. One more time. Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Woo! Give him praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Whew. You can be seated if you can. I'm telling you, sometimes you're rolling along through life. You're going through all the motions, as we've talked about this morning. You're doing the same old every day. And it's almost like somebody has thrown a big old blanket on you, and you can't seem to rise up above what the same old is. And God has miracles. God has miracles, signs, and wonders, but we can't seem to get up past the same old to see who he is, that he is the Most High God, Jehovah, and he wants to move in his church and in his people. He wants to give you signs, miracles, and wonders like you have never seen. I challenge you to believe and ask God for big things. Big things. If you've had a chronic problem for years, then why? Why do we put up with that? Because we serve an awesome God, and he can deliver us from anything. Oh, that was really weak. See, he can deliver us from anything. I don't care if your mama had it. I don't care if your daddy had it. I don't care if Aunt Sally had it. You don't have to have it. You don't have to have it. Some people, I don't know, I didn't start on my sermon yet, but some people think, well, grandma had diabetes, mama had diabetes, the dog's got diabetes, and I guess you're going to have to. No, don't receive that junk. Some people almost wear it like it's a medal on their shirt, diabetes, or whatever. Don't claim that stuff. Don't act like it has a right to be in your body, because it doesn't. We put up with way too much junk. And God is saying, I am here if you'll just ask me. I have been asking God for some of the most spectacular things. If I told you, it would blow you away almost. I have been asking because I figure this, I say to him all the time, you said, I have not because I ask not. So I'm asking. And you know what? I ask these great big huge things, and he doesn't even blink an eye. He doesn't say, I can't believe you asked me for that. No. I think that it pleases God when we get out from under all of the circumstances and get out from under all the mundane acts of life, and we say, God, you are Almighty God, and I know that you can do this for me. I know you can pay off my debts. I know that you can pay off my mortgage. I know, God, you can give me debt reduction. I know, God, hallelujah, I'm about to take off here, because I'm telling you what, we serve an awesome God. Woo! We got to start talking. This is not in my sermon. Can I just give you a few more? I told you I went through three sermons, and I'm working on another one. You know, some people get all ripped and out of shape when I tell you to, not in this church they don't get ripped out of shape, but other people, you know, when I say you need to talk to your checkbook and say, you know, I call an increase, or you need to talk to, Jesus said, he talked to the tree. Jesus talked to the winds and the waves. He told us to talk to mountains. Did you know that in the book of Joshua, chapter 10, verses 12 through 14, did you know, I love this, this is just like, for a better lack of whatever, it's just messed me up all week. You know, because Joshua, they were in a battle, and they were in this huge battle, and they were winning. The Israelites were winning, but they needed more daylight. They needed more time. They needed more sunshine. And all of a sudden, Joshua looked up to the sun and the moon and said, stand still. Oh, hallelujah. 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 You know, know what? Hey, we talk to checkbooks and we talk to little things and we act like that's a big deal. Joshua talked to the solar system and they stood still. The sun stood still. The moon stood still. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. He talked directly to the sun and the moon and they stood still. And do you know, to this day, the scientists wonder where in the world we lost today? Ha ha. They'd have to talk to Joshua about that. We need to open our mouths and start calling those things that be not as though they were. Too many times we're talking about the problems as they are, and they will stay that problem. You talk about the problem, you pray about the problem, you go to Sister Holy Mo and talk about the problem, and I'm telling you what, that problem's getting bigger and bigger. But when you start taking thus saith the word of God and you start praying the answer, things are going to change. All right. I tell you, I get so wrapped up. There's things that I can't seem to get my mind around, but evidently my spirit is getting around it. But I can't wrap my mind around it, and that's the name of Jesus. It's so powerful. It's so awesome. I think about the name of Jesus. I heard a story just recently about somebody who, a Christian who died and went to heaven, but their loved one was down here. And they were saying, in the name of Jesus, God, send them back to me. I think it was a young person. I can't remember. But they said, send them back to me. And Jesus, let this young person walk around heaven and see a little bit of heaven. But they said, but you've got to go back now. And the young person said, no, no. And they said, but you have to go back because they're down there using the name. They're using the name of Jesus. So you've got to go back. Hallelujah. Do you understand how big, how huge the name of Jesus is? Oh, I tell you what, and so when we pray, like this morning, when we prayed for that baby, I'm believing that the name of Jesus went into that child, and when that child, I'm believing for a victorious report, because, not that I prayed, not that you prayed, but because we prayed in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm going to attempt to preach some of this sermon. I'm telling you, whew. I want to talk this morning about Jesus. I think we need to talk more and more and more about him. But before I talk about Jesus, I want to take you all the way back to the book of Exodus. And there we see an Egyptian prince named Moses who had fled from his country for killing a man. And now 40 years later, he's a shepherd tending to a sheep in the desert. And he's strolling around, and he sees a bush on fire, which that's not a big deal back then because there's not a lot of vegetation there. And the sun, I mean, you're out in the desert, so the sun is beating down on it. And so this bush is burning. But, you know, he's kind of watching it. But the thing was that the bush never was consumed with the fire. And so all of a sudden, he hears a voice coming out of the fiery bush, from what I understand. And the voice says to him, Moses, take off your shoes. Take off your sandals. You're standing on holy ground. So God starts talking to Moses about going to Egypt and setting his people free. In Exodus 3:11-14, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be a sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. And Moses said to God, well, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? Then who shall I tell them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites, I am has sent you. Aha, has sent me to you. Now, we're going to go to Jesus' day. John chapter 8, verses 48 through 58. And Jesus is being confronted by some Jews. It says, and Jesus answered and said to him, and the Jews answered and said to him, talking to Jesus, Do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. And I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my words, he shall never see death. Then the Jews said to him, Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham is dead and the prophets, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead? And the prophets are dead? Who do you make yourself out to be? And Jesus answered, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say he is your God, yet you have not known him. But I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I should be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. And your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. Then the Jews said to him, Well, you're not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Hallelujah. 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 Do you understand what he's saying here? Before Abraham was, I am. He said, woo. This was a huge statement for Jesus to make in front of these Jewish leaders. What was he saying when he made this statement? He was claiming to be pre-existent, always existing, to have been living when Abraham was born. He was claiming to be above and beyond time. He was claiming to be eternal. When Jesus used the term, I am, he is making a claim to be God. He has adopted the I am, which is one of the names of God. And he went on to say in other scriptures, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am from above. I am the true vine. I am the Son of God. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is still the I am this morning. He is so awesome. Perry Stone made a statement that just, I'm telling you, I thought I was going to pull the car over. It just got all over me. He said all the names of God can be wrapped up into one name, and it's the name of Jesus. All the names of God, Jehovah Jireh, he is our provider, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Rapha, your healer. And he said all the names of God can be wrapped up into that one name, Jesus. And oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, and then when you lay hands on somebody and you say with the authority of Jesus, I lay hands on you in the name of Jesus Christ, all of the power, all of the names of God are rolled up into that name, and you lay your hands on that person, you can believe they shall be healed in the name of Jesus. Oh. There's so much power in the name of Jesus. Did you know that? Did you know that if one of your family members are sick, that you could lay hands on them and speak the name in faith and they will be healed? Did you know that? I love praying for your family. I love praying for you. We'd love to do that here. But if it's like on a Tuesday night at 1 o'clock in the morning and you're like, I don't know if the pastor will be awake or not, probably not, but you know, you can still call me. But there's nothing wrong with you as a believer, to lay your hand on that person and say in the name of Jesus, be healed. In the name of Jesus, fever, I speak to you and I tell you to go out of my child's body now in the name of Jesus and command it to go in that name. That's what Jesus did to Peter's mother-in-law. He went in there and she was burning up with a fever and he spoke to the fever and commanded it to go. The Bible says he rebuked the fever and it left and she got up, fixed him some biscuits and gravy or whatever. I still can't get over the fact that between the time of Jesus' resurrection and the time he ascended, the Bible never mentions him laying his hands on anyone. It never mentions him raising anyone from the dead during that time. Why? Mark 16, verses 15 through 18 tells us why. I mean, think about it. I should have looked this up, but there's a span of time. I don't know how many days. Was it 50 days? He was between the resurrection and the time that he went up to heaven. There was a span of time, and during that time, we never see him laying hands on anybody. We never see him healing anybody. And Jesus healed multitudes. Jesus would heal lots of anybody would come close to him, and they wanted to be healed. Jesus would heal them. But during that time, he didn't. That's because of Mark 16, 15 through 18, it says, and he said to them, this is his disciples, the people who are following him, this is Jesus speaking to you and to me today. This is like him speaking directly to us. And he said to them, go into the world and preach the gospel. What's the gospel mean? Good news. Go preach the good news to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, and he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. Do we have any believers in the house this morning? Then this is what's going to follow you. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Can you do that in your home? Can you do that at Walmart? Anywhere. When Jesus rose from the grave, all power was given to him, and he turned right around and delegated that power. And also the word power in the Greek means authority. He turned around and delegated that power, that authority, to me and to you. You have authority. It's time for us to start. I want you to, you say, well Pastor, I feel funny about laying hands on people. Practice on somebody. y'all that remember Rachel Easter Day, we loved her because she just took this by faith, and her dog had a growth on his body, and they said it was going to cost, wasn't it like $1,000? It was $500. It was a lot of money, they said, for us to take care of it. So she didn't, she watched us in church that we would use anointing oil, we would lay hands on the sick, anoint them with oil. She didn't have any anointing oil, so she went got Pam spray. And she sprayed the dog's forehead, and she laid hands on the dog, and the tumor left in the name of Jesus. So if you need to practice on your dog or your ferret or whatever you have, if you want to practice on your kids, do it by faith. You say in the name of Jesus, I believe that you're healed through that name, and command that junk to get out of your house. It's time for us to practice. You know, I heard a story about Kenneth Copeland, who is a mighty man of God, was telling a story about how that he had been at a meeting one day, an all-day thing, I think, and he came back, and from what I remember, I may not get this exactly right, but from what I remember, he's a mighty man of faith and power. But he came home, and he was tired, he was sick, he didn't feel good, he started to climb in the bed, and I think he was saying a few things, you know, like, oh, what in the world is this all about, I don't know, or, you know, whatever. And he said he was laying on his back in the bed, and all of a sudden, out of the sky came his wife, Gloria. She just came, she had jumped up, and all of a sudden he looked up, there she came, and she jumped right on the middle of him in his chest and started saying, in the name of Jesus, I command this stuff to leave my husband now. And he was totally healed. But it would crack me up because she came flying out of nowhere. I mean, that's what we need to be like. Don't put up with that junk. Don't allow the devil to dominate your home. Before you take your kids to the doctors for the sniffles or whatever, like Lori this morning, instead she's going to take the baby to the doctor, but before she took the baby, she came up here and got that baby prayed for. That's what I'm talking about right there. And before you go to the doctor, I mean, if you have time, if it's not an emergency thing or whatever, but even on the way, lay hands on them and pray in the name of Jesus. Take your authority and speak to the fever or whatever it is, and pray the name of Jesus over them so that at least I'm not going to say the least, but so that the name of Jesus will be covering them as they go into the doctor. Luke 10 and 19, Jesus said, "Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." The word power, like I said, means authority in the Greek. And twice he said, "Behold, I give you," I'm going to use this in the Greek version, "Behold, I give you authority." I give you authority, Russ. I give you authority, Tommy. I give you authority, Sonny. I give you authority, Robert. I give you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions. That is representative of the devil. And he said, "Over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." When Jesus talks about serpents and scorpions, he's referring to the powers of the devil, demons, and evil spirits. Jesus has given us authority over them. But please understand that we don't have authority in our own rights. All authority given to us is from the Lord. So what is authority? It's delegated power. Now, you know, I've used this expression or this example before. But if you've got a traffic cop, traffic policeman, excuse me, I should say cop. If you've got a traffic policeman that is at a busy four-way intersection, and this guy looks like Barney Fife, and, you know, and he walks out there, but he's got on his uniform, and he's got on a badge given to him by the government, and he walks out there, and it doesn't matter if a Mack truck is coming or what kind of vehicle is coming. If he puts up his hand because of the authority given to him and delegated to him by the state of Maryland or wherever, they have to stop. Now, he doesn't have that power in his own self to stop a car, but because of the delegated authority, all he has to do is put up his hand, and traffic, all of these Mack trucks, everything has to come to a stop. It's the same thing with us. I'm telling you, in your own self, you're not strong enough. You're not big enough to come up against the devil. But when you lift up your hand in the name of Jesus and you say, "Devil, that's enough. That's enough. In the name of Jesus, I tell you to stop." Because of the delegated authority given to you by Almighty God, hell has to listen. It has to raise up its head and go, "Oh, I hate it when they use the name. Ha ha! I don't care if you're the weakest Christian in here today. Oh, I don't care if you're the weakest Christian in here today. When you speak the name of Jesus, if your child has measles or mumps and you say, in the name of Jesus, we don't put up with this. We tell you to get out of our house now in the name of Jesus." You have just put up your hand and you said, "It's enough." And because of the delegated authority that God has given you, it has to stop. Are y'all getting this? Oh. Because now we're going to go a little deeper. You know I love this scripture. 1 John 4:4. 1 John 4:4 says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." The power that is in you is greater than the power that's in the world, because the power that backs our authority is greater than the power that backs up the enemy. We have the greater one. Who is this greater one? He says his name is I Am. Oh, hallelujah. I am is backing you up. Hallelujah. Woo. Many Christians don't know very much about the authority of the believer. They really don't believe we have authority. They believe they're barely saved, and they must go through life being dominated by the devil. You know, you can always tell these Christians. I'm not trying to be ignorant, but... You can always tell the Christians who are being dominated by the devil and don't have know their rights as a Christian because they're so sour looking. You know, you walk up to them, "Hey, how you doing?" "I'm getting through. I'm getting by. Bless his holy name." What is that? It scares me away. I can imagine what it does to sinners. Sinners are saying, if that's what it's all about, I don't need none of that, you know. But when you, as a born-again child of God, and somebody comes up to you, yes, you're going through a trial. Yes, you're going through a hard time. And they say, hey, how you doing? You say, I am victorious through Jesus. I am coming through. The way that this authority to get big on the inside of you is to meditate on it, confess it with your mouth. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Start saying that several times a day, and I believe it's going to change your life. I want to start hearing about how that you took authority in your homes in Jesus' name. I want to hear about how you took hold of Luke 17, verses 5 and 6. And I forgot to give that scripture to Buddy. And that scripture says that Jesus spoke, said, told us to speak into this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up at the root, be you cast into the sea, and you shall obey me in the name of Jesus. So you speak to the root of whatever it is. If you've got a little growth on you, if you've got a little something, a rash, whatever it is, you speak to the root of that thing. You say, I call you plucked up at the root. I call you cast into the sea, and you shall obey me in the name of Jesus. And it has to go. It has to go. And you start thanking God that it has to go. I want you to start saying, we need to all start saying who we are in Christ Jesus. We are the righteousness of God. We need to confess how the blood of Jesus covers our homes and our families and our cars. Every day you get up, you need to be pleading the blood of Jesus over your vehicles, over your homes, over your family, over your job, every building you go into, everything that you're about. You need to plead the blood of Jesus to cover you and your family every day. You get to use his name, and you have a right to the blood. Why in the world are we not using it? Start saying who you are. You are the righteousness of God. Jesus told his disciples to rejoice because, you know, the disciples, you got to love these guys. They went out, Jesus sent them out two by two, and they were laying hands on people. People were being healed. They cast out demons. And they were all excited. They come back and they said, Jesus, they said, demons were subject to us because of your name. And Jesus was like, that's good. But better yet, rejoice because your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Don't get excited about demons being bound down. He said, better yet, I'm telling you what, President Obama, he might not know my name. They may not know my name on Capitol Hill, but heaven knows my name. Heaven knows your name if it's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that's what we need to be talking about. I want everyone to stand. I'd like for you to bow your heads, close your eyes, no moving around. This is God's time. You know, during the preaching and during this time, this is God's time. We need to be as reverent of that as we can possibly be. We're only here for a half hour during the sermon, and I would ask you to use that time to respect God. And so this morning, I want to ask you, I just got through saying that your name can be in the Lamb. That's the most important book around right now. Other than the Bible, the Lamb's Book of Life. If your name is not in there, you're not going to heaven. That's just the way it is. That's just as plain as I could put it to you. If your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you will not go to heaven. But you know what? That could change this morning. This morning, your name can be put into the most important book other than the Bible this day. But you know why? Because Jesus made it possible. He said, and I've said this to you before, but it just bears repeating. Jesus is standing there and he is knocking on the door of your heart. And as I've said before, the doorknob is on the inside. Jesus is not just going to bash the door in and come into your life. He is knocking. He's knocking on the door of your heart. And he's saying, will you let me in? Will you let the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, will you let me in today? If there's anyone here and you say, Pastor, I want my name to be in the Lamb's Book of Life. I want to ask Jesus to come into my life today, I would love to introduce you to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If you're here today and you would say, I want to meet him, I want to know him, I want to invite him into my life, would you raise your hand? Yes. Is there anyone else? Anyone else? You're saying, I need prayer. I need for Jesus to be in my life today. We're not in a hurry. You're here for a reason. You are here by divine appointment. You think you got up and just came to church? You didn't. You came here by divine appointment. God knew before the foundations of the world that you would be in this building this day. And if you need anything from the Lord this morning, if you need prayer for your body, if you need healing in your body, if you need prayer for deliverance, if you just need prayer for strength, I call these altars open right now. I invite you to come on up. Anyone that would need prayer, come on up right now. Is there anyone else that would like to come up? When I call on Jesus. Anyone else? If you'd like to come up this morning and just have prayer. You may have gone through a difficult week. You may have just, had a rough week. Maybe you need healing in your body. These altars are open. And you just maybe need some encouragement. Don't get settled on me. Come on up here. I tell you, God has been moving in this church today. We will pray for you. We will come in. Maybe you just need somebody to come in agreement with you for some stuff. We will come in agreement with you in the name of Jesus, believing that you receive and that you shall have.